In the way of adding free agents, Philadelphia addressed two huge needs with really respected players. They added the cornerback Darius Slay, and they added the defensive lineman Javon Hargrave, to play next to Fletcher Cox, which a lot of people feel will be a really fine interior tandem for Philadelphia. It appears of the people in the NFC East, the Eagles have done a good job of addressing their needs, though their needs at wide receiver are still glaring at this point.
And I think they probably will lean on the draft, since this is a wide receiver heavy draft, to get those needs and add some of those players, young players, at a really good cost, because they opened up the checkbook for Darius Slay to bring him in to fill that hole at cornerback. But if we're going to talk about additions to teams in the NFC East, I think the main one is in Washington, and it's their head coach, because they may feel that they have some talent there, but a guy that's been through the wars and has seen a franchise have success will help them out a ton in Ron Rivera.
I agree with you. Rivera is a significant addition. And the fact that you've got a new respected head coach, Rivera's not a one-year head coach in Washington. We've seen a lot of these teams hire a guy and after a year say, oh, it's just not working. What Washington has been doing, instead of signing people primarily, Donnie, they've been pruning people. They've been saying, hey, thanks, but I'm sorry for the injuries Jordan Reed has suffered, but he's gone. The cornerback that I still don't know why other teams couldn't offer them more than a fifth for Quentin Dunbar, right, but he's gone. They cut Josh Norman. He's gone. The talk is that they may hopefully find a trading partner for the unhappy tackle Trent Williams, and he'll be gone. Washington this offseason appears to have focused most on getting rid of people and clearing the decks for Rivera to start evaluating their replacements.
And it's not the whole win right now mode that I think the Cowboys are in, but it's kind of the same thing of what McCarthy is doing around here, where we think that there will be players that in the past you would automatically assume would stay here, and they've been signing elsewhere. And I think he has a little bit of a leash to say, I don't expect you guys to win a division this year or next year, but try to figure out what you have and what you want to bring in the next 2 or 3 years. We should be contending not only for the division, but maybe even something bigger. And to see them saying, you know what? Colt McCoy, you've been good, but bye-bye. We're going to bring Kyle Allen to see if Haskins is our guy. They don't know, but they hold the key to this upcoming draft.
Boy,
they really
that's
do.
The truth.
Because if they decide, oh, man, I don't know about Haskins. I know we just brought Kyle Allen in, and we still have Alex Smith, although he may not be ready. If they go quarterback, they are going to set this draft upside down.
Totally upside down. If Washington decides tomorrow or at the last minute, you know what? We can't pass on Tua.
Right.
If they take Tua off the board, it scrambles the thinking of all sorts of teams in this draft.
And they may even turn it even more upside down if they go to surprise and say, you know what? We want Herbert. He's the guy for us, and we're going to draft him at number two. That may blow up this draft.
They do hold to some degree the keys for some kind of shocking happening in the draft. But right now, Washington looks like bottom barrel in the NFC East. Now,
you don't think Rivera is going to make a huge difference from what Gruden did?
I don't, because at this present point, they're holding tryouts at quarterback. They're crossing their fingers for Haskins. They picked up Allen as a competitor for Haskins. I don't know. Now the Giants are that step ahead. Remember last year when people were stunned that the Giants took Daniel Jones instead of Dwayne Haskins?
Right.
Well, now don't the Giants look like they're a step ahead at that position?
They do. He seems more established because he got his shot a little bit earlier than what Haskins did. So I do wonder if they maybe want to bring in an experienced quarterback to go behind Daniel Jones to see if they can he can either learn for them. I don't think about pushing him. I think he's the starter, but someone to lean on just in case it doesn't go well.
Well, McCoy has been a classically good backup quarterback in this league, and I think he makes sense for the Giants. Now, the Giants have been a little bit active in free agency. The Redskins, I guess their biggest sign in free agency would be dramatically overpaying the cornerback Kendall Fuller. But the Giants added a couple of people to their defense who can really play. The cornerback James Bradbury is a good player, and Blake Martinez was just a tackling machine when he was at Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So the Giants have to some degree shored up their defense, but the Giants still have a ways to go before they reach contender status, don't they?
I think so. But this division, man, you have no idea. There hasn't been a repeat champion in how many years now?
Oh, forever.
Has it been 16, 17 years, something like that? So we always think that these teams have no chance, and then something breaks, or the rest of the division is not as good as what it was, and then one of those teams can do something well in a division, step up, maybe have a last place schedule playing teams that aren't very good either, and jump up and maybe have a chance to win this division. So I won't count anyone out until one of the better teams in this division, Philadelphia, Dallas, step up and be the teams that we expect them to be.
I certainly would consider New York in a sleeper area only because Daniel Jones flashed enough at quarterback last year to make you think that if Daniel Jones takes a significant step forward in his second year, it'll make the Giants a better football team. And anytime you, by the way, there's also a team that went about rebuilding its offensive line, which it desperately needed to do. Mm-hmm. And by the way, may continue to do in the draft. Don't be surprised if the Giants stay. They could add. They're in such a great position this draft to trade, to draft a defensive player, an offensive impact player. But anytime you've got a quarterback that you believe can step up and have the star running ability of Saquon Barkley, it certainly makes you keep an eye out for a team like that.
Yes, it does. They have offensive weapons. And in this today's NFL, you can go out there and try to outscore someone, you may have a chance. And we talked about that even last year. They have a shot. Now, yeah, it's according to how their young coach is going to do, though. That's the wild card.
It is the wild card. And the history of coaches jumping right in and immediately changing a team. I mean, year one, that's not so good in this league.
Right.
But the Giants, it appears, have at least turned the ship a little bit. Remember a couple of years ago, Donnie, when the Giants spent 200 and some million dollars in free agency, adding four people, and it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. Well, the approach this year is different with their general manager, Gettleman.
I think they're trying to copy what the rest of the NFL is doing. You have to make sure that your defense is adequate, average. And if you have above average playmaking superstars on offense, that should be able to get you through. I think that's their thinking. I think that's the Cowboys' thinking. I think that's everyone's thinking since Kansas City is doing what they're doing here in the league the last few years. So we'll see if Joe Judge can guide the way. But I think I'm with you. The wild card for Washington is Rivera and how he can step their game up because he's an experienced coach. And then the wild card for the Giants is Joe Judge being a young coach to see how he can manage being out front for his first time.
Right now, if you were grading this division, the Eagles, I think, would get the they would get the grade best in free agency of the changes they've made and the people they've brought in.
Yes.
The Redskins would be at the bottom. And then you'd have somewhere in the middle a question of the Giants and the Cowboys, though each of those teams remains poised to be able to add another player or two, which would certainly affect the way we think about their offseason free agency success.
In my opinion, the addition of Ron Rivera may not put the Redskins as far at the bottom as maybe you have them, because I think he is a huge step up from Gruden, and if he's given a little bit of leash to make sure what he does or he can implement to this team, I think that's going to help them out a lot.
You know, the odd thing about the Redskins is little Danny Snyder went out there and spent money like crazy. And you never knew what he was spending on. Washington often had some of the funkiest plans, if you can call them that. And it appears Rivera has settled down that organization. Now, you can never be sure with little Danny Snyder, but it appears Rivera has said, hey, why don't we look at this as a game plan?
I was looking this up the other day, Norm, and I couldn't believe it. Don't know why it came across my mind, but looking at the ages of the owners in the NFL, and as long as Dan Snyder has been owning a team, he's still tied for the youngest owner in the NFL.
Are you serious?
Clark Hunt and Danny Snyder, I do believe, if I can remember correctly, are the same age, and they are the youngest owners.
He's been there forever.
I know.
That means he owned the Redskins when he was in his 30s, mid-30s.
He was John Daniels' age.
Wow.